And then I realized, oh my God, we get to hear Josh Vernier again in the playoffs and on this show, who joins us now. Mr. Vern, how the hell are you?
I think you're dying.
I probably am.
Yeah.
What a great way to go out.
Show and go to the doctor right now. That is not healthy.
If you're peeing blue, you should probably see some help, yeah. Right?
Took a punch in the gut or something.
I took a punch in the gut Saturday night.
Yeah. Nice. So where are we, Vern? We're down 1-0 in the series. Got Cole Reagan's going today. This thing comes back to KC, knotted up at 1. Royals have home field advantage. Book it, right?
Right. Yeah, I certainly feel that way. Listen, the 6-5 loss in game one, credit to the Yankees, no doubt, right? Their defense was better. Their bullpen was better. But the Royals, to me, it's more about the disappointing moments from the Royals. Now, again, credit to the Yankees. They won the game. They made the plays. Juan Soto made the throw. Alex Verdugo had the big hit. Yep. But, you know, Salvi had an opportunity to gun that Jazz Chisholm out at second base, but a high throw to Michael Massey allows it to fall in the lap of instant replay, and they screw it up. Sam Long walks the number 9 hitter. John Schreiber walks in a run, and then you make the first out at home when Vance Wilson sends Salvador Perez in the second inning.
Gersh holds him there.
Defense, base running, when those things bite you on the backside, it's normally difficult to turn the page. But to me, I came away from that loss even more convinced that the Royals have everything it takes to really take the next three games if they so choose and move on to the ALCS.
Yeah, but you got to do it with your middle of the order doing better than 1-for-14 with Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby. They've got to be better than 1-for-14. Your stars got to be stars, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. 1-for-14 with only one opportunity with a runner in scoring position. On the flip side, Aaron Judge 0-for-4 with 3 punch-outs. Juan Soto, though, fit the billing of a superstar, no doubt about it. Yeah, Bobby had the one opportunity with a runner in scoring position and grounds out to the left side. But Bobby also blast one deep to left center field in the first inning. Aaron Judge makes a great play. To me, that was just a very entertaining game. Someone had to come out on the losing end. No surprise, it's the team that walks 8 batters that comes out on the losing end.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, my buddy Tony sent me a text this morning, Vernon. I'm going to run this one by you.
Romo?
And he said, I wish. And he said, how many times has a team won a playoff game where they've walked 8 batters? I said, how the hell do I know? Yeah. So he Googled it. And listen to this. In the last 30 postseasons, that's the wild card era, teams are 23-73 when their pitchers walk at least 8 hitters in regulation. So you don't walk 8 guys.
I thought it'd be worse than that.
I thought it would be too, quite honestly. Yeah. I thought it would be a lot worse than
23
that.
23 wins is a lot.
It is. But that's what it boils down to, though, Vern. I mean, yeah. Zerpa walking guys, Schreiber walking. Like, everybody walked everybody in that game. You get rid of those walks, and you got yourself an opportunity to win a game.
100%. And, again, I know no one wants to hear this, but I will give some credit to the New York Yankees. You know, the walk that Austin Wells took with the bases loaded in the fifth inning, credit to him. That was a difficult Angel Zerpa made some good pitches. You know, you could dive into them. You know, it's never as simple as reading the box score. The walk that Michael Wacha issued to his final batter there in the fifth inning, he struck that dude out, got ripped off, and 9 pitches later, he's putting on the leadoff walk, and Matt Quatrero's taking him out. It's only the third time all season this pitching staff has issued 8 or more walks. They actually won a game in which they issued 8 walks that memorable night at Kauffman Stadium with Bobby's big RBI triple against the Seattle Mariners. So again, that game one to me is just so... it was the antithesis of this ball club that we've watched now for 165 games this season. To have that many walks, to have Salvi not make a better throw, to not be able to get Jazz Chisholm out, a base running mistake, to make the first out at home plate. There's so many things that allow me to, you know, wad that one up, throw it in the trash can and get ready for tonight. Because let's be real. And I said it on the On Deck show back on Saturday. If the Royals take game one, if they beat Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium, the series is over. Royals are winning it. Maybe it takes 5, but the Royals are going to win that series. Game one, in my opinion, was a must-win for the Yankees. And now tonight, I'm going to stop short of calling it a must win, but when you have Cole Reagans on the mound, Royals need to win that game.
No, I will say it's a must win, Vern, because losing that first game, listen to this stat. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but in all best of five postseason series, the team that wins game one has gone on to take the series 72% of the time. Yep. In the division series under the current 2-2-1 format, teams winning game one have advanced 73% of the time. Like, that game one is huge, not insurmountable, but man, if you don't win today and you're down 0-2, you're staring down the barrel of something not fun.
Yeah, and the thing that would worry me isn't that this team's incapable of winning three straight. Certainly when you have Lugo, Waka, and Reagan set up for the final three games of the series, I believe the team can still do it. But Wednesday, you know, my wife and her mom and her cousin just bought tickets to the game on Wednesday. Everyone is so excited. If they don't win this one coming up tonight, there's going to be, it's still going to be raucous in the first and second and third innings coming up on Wednesday. But there will be a touch bit more anxiety in the building than I'm hoping for, right? I want that place to, make new Royals fans, make new baseball fans in Kansas City. And if they find themselves with their back up against the wall going into that game, I don't think Royals fans will truly be able to let it eat, as they say. I think they'll be waiting for that first run before they truly let loose and let their freak flag fly.
Yeah.
But if they, if they win this one tonight, it's just going to be a madhouse from the moment you walk inside Kauffman Stadium.
Do you think, Vern, it's as simple as Bobby Witt versus Aaron Judge, whichever player shows up's team wins tonight?
That's not my first thought on the game, but I can't disagree with that. Bobby, as we saw in Baltimore, has the ability to single-handedly win you a game, a series, a month, we saw back in July. Aaron Judge's first at-bat against Cole Reagans, I think, could dictate the entire game, could dictate the entire atmosphere of the 49,000 that are going to be in the building coming up tonight. I don't know if you guys felt it as well, but that stadium wants to turn on Aaron Judge. The murmurs were already evident back on Saturday's game. If he punches out against Cole Reagans in the first inning, that anxiety that I talked about possibly being at Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday, it's going to be a different anxiety inside of Yankee Stadium, because suddenly their hero is so very vulnerable, and all of a sudden being second-guessed if he has the goods on the big stage. Suddenly he's this generation's Barry Bonds of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, yeah, Alex Rodriguez. I mean, there's a lot of guys, Vern. I don't know, that mindset to me, I've been saying it all along since we knew this was going to be the series. Aaron Judge doesn't scare me in the playoffs. He's hitting, 208 now, Dusty, in the playoffs. He struck out three times, 206. Like, he is about as clutch as you and I. Like, I wouldn't hesitate to say, you know what? You're not playing tonight, Aaron. You're no good in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, sure. Hey, if Booney's listening, sit him.
Yeah,
he needs a day.
Yeah, but he's like an automatic out in the postseason.
Unless you walk him, like Angel Zerpa did in the fifth inning of that game back on Saturday. I'm not going to say that I don't fear Aaron Judge, but yes, if they want to sit him down against Cole Reagans, you go right for it. Save him for game three at Kauffman Stadium coming up on Wednesday night. That'd be fine by me.
Vern, you're on Deck Show, I believe, 5:30 tonight, is that correct?
Yes, sir, over on The Fan, AM 610.
That's right. I know on that show you're very informative with everything that we need to know for this game. Let's give a little insight before that. What can we expect from Rodon tonight as the Royals go up against their number two guy?
Yeah, depending on how long you've been a Royals fan, I think you remember plenty of Carlos Rodon moments, mm-hmm. whether it's him being so key in Brandon Finnegan's development of a slider that helped this team back in 2014. Maybe you remember last season where he got absolutely rocked mm-hmm. in his final outing at Kauffman Stadium. Or maybe you remember what he did earlier this year when he locked up this Royals ball club. Rodon is a guy that, if you can get him flustered, this is a guy that could be out in the third inning. His mm-hmm. emotions can at times get the best of him. But when he's locked in, this is a guy that commands a $100 million contract. He's a $20 million a year type of pitcher when right, a big fastball, Coming from the left side, when right, I'd say Carlos Rodon has the ability to be one of the 5 or 10 best lefties in all of Major League Baseball. But again, man, that first inning is going to say so much, not only about Aaron Judge and that Yankees offense, but also how collected, how calm is Carlos Rodon. If the Royals can get on base in that first inning, if Bobby can cause a little bit of havoc on that base path, I think you could find yourself inside that Yankees bullpen pretty quick. Just listening to Rodon yesterday, listening to the questions that the Yankees media were asking him, it was all about his emotions, all about getting too amped up. And if that's what the Yankee beat writers are focused on, that tells me this is the core of the issue for Carlos Rodon tonight. Remaining calm, executing his pitches, and not letting the outside noise or the pressure get to him. If the Royals can get to him early, this is a guy you could see hitting the showers very quick.
We're 10 hours away right now from first pitch, fellas, right?
I can't make it.
Only one that just wants to puke right now? Like, in my stomach, it's just like, it's starting to get like a volcano. It's starting to feel
you
like
need
the
some Tums?
No, not like that. Like, you can feel the butterflies floating around, the nervous energy that's in there. Like, I'm already focusing on pitch one. Postseason baseball, Vern, you know, it's just spectacular, and every pitch matters, everything matters, and we're still 10 hours away from that first pitch, and I feel like I want to run outside and vomit right now. Does anybody else have that same feeling, or am I just sicker than others?
No, I think that's everyone that is locked in with this team, and really, even outside of Kansas City, if you have a team still in the race, it's getting me out of bed about an hour earlier than normal. I'm as focused on tonight's first pitch at 6:38 as anything I've ever been focused on. With all apologies to my family, my job, and everything else that should be a top priority, man. No, I'm absolutely keyed up for this game tonight. And the key is, I forgot who said it. But with those butterflies, keep those butterflies in formation and use them to your own benefit.
Like, how do you think players handle this kind of stuff? I know they get there early and all this kind of stuff, but I just can't imagine what the emotion is like for these players tonight, knowing on either side, like, this is one of those, bounce games, Vern. It could go one way or the other. The Royals win, they got home field advantage. The Yankees win, they're like, all right, we took the first two, and now we only need to find one more. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, man. Like, this whole thing for me is just, it's going to be nerve-wracking all day. That's why I've scheduled an entire day of stuff to kind of keep my mind occupied.
And that's it right there. That's what players do. I think when it gets them is, last night going to bed. They might have a tough time falling asleep. But once you wake up, it's game day. This is what you've been doing for your entire life. The off days are what are abnormal for a routine-oriented baseball player. But to get right back into it, go to the ballpark a little bit earlier and, just begin that routine that you've been performing since spring training back in February. Today is normal. Yesterday's the one where you get in your own head if you're Cole Reagans or a Bobby Witt, a Vinny or a Salvi. You guys were talking earlier about some people just don't have a connection with this team, and a lot of that has to do with the television deal. I agree with that, but I also think there's something to the fact that this team sucked last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. In 2014, they were good. In 13, you saw some promise back in 2012. You didn't see any promise, really, from this team last year. So there wasn't the we're growing up together over the past few years with this team. It was, the Royals suck. There's no reason to watch them. All of a sudden, they're really good, and now they're playing the Yankees in the ALDS. A lot of names on this team and in this lineup that weren't here a year ago, 2 years ago. So you really haven't been able to grow up with these guys. But like you guys have been mentioning, win this game tonight, and all of a sudden, I think that bond between the city and the team will be solidified, and it'll be on full display coming up on Wednesday night.
Vern, let me give you a Binkley stat here, my guy. You ready for this one? Every pitcher in today's baseball game, it starts as a left-handed pitcher.
Nice.
Yeah.
Such a good Binkley impression. I've never heard anybody else that does a Binkley impression.
There nobody else does one, though. That's the
Hey, well, Vern, I'll be locked in,
it's
man.
It's a talent.
It's
a talent.
What's your talent? Thank you very much. I'll be locked in. 5:30 tonight. Vern's on deck show, baby. Let's get going and keep pounding that coffee because you're going to need it, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, right. Sir. The Fan AM 610. I'll talk to you at 5:30.
Love you, Vern.
All right. See you, Vern.
All right. There's Josh Verner, and here's this.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
Check, I'm a damn fool.
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
From the 816, please stop saying buddy so much. You guys are adults, have friends and colleagues. This isn't grade school. Coming up on the other side,
it is, my God.
How did we fit?